Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm Katie Mox, and coming up on today's show, it's our college football preview show. We'll give you our best bets heading into the season, and maybe some will surprise you. We'll preview the major conferences and give you our picks to win each one. And of course, we're going to give you those Mox Locks for the weekend's college football game. But first, let's welcome in our guest, Colby Dant from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network and the resident college football expert. Colby, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited. You know, this time of year is like Christmas. I know, you know, this and March Madness, I feel like I'm just jumping up and down. So I appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, we are excited to have you. So let's at first talk about Nebraska and Northwestern in Ireland. What do you think about this one? I mean, Nebraska coming off a genuinely mind-boggling season for 2021. 3-1, the most losses in school history since 1957, but they outscored their opponents by 60, about 5 points per game. How do you make of them last year?
Oh, I mean, if you listen to the College Football Experience podcast, that was one of my locks that I got wrong. I felt bullish on Nebraska last year, but they lost, what, nine games by 9 points or less. They were in the mix with all the best teams in the nation. It just seemed like everything went wrong down the stretch. And, you know, Scott Frost was lucky enough to retain his job. And, you know, changing his philosophy, got rid of his quarterback, brought in a more of a passing quarterback and an offensive coordinator that just had Kenny Pickett. So I think, you know, that it's going to be interesting to see how fast you can implement a radical change like that in your offense, because I was actually at the Northwestern Nebraska game in Lincoln, Nebraska last year, and Nebraska really did actually lay it on Northwestern. Now, this game being in Ireland, I do think Pat Fitzgerald, see, I'm old enough to remember Pat Fitzgerald in the 90s playing linebacker for Northwestern. He's a defensive guy, and I know he gave up 55 or 56 points last year in that game. I'm sure he's been bothered by that all year, so I do expect him to have a defense to keep Nebraska in check. So I can't wait for this matchup. It's so strange that it's in Ireland. So strange. And you got to think it's going to be awkward, because with Nebraska's head coach really on the hot seat, he can't really afford a loss. And if you do lose, you got a 12-hour flight probably back to Chicago, or back to, I don't even know if you fly directly into Lincoln or what, but
probably not from Ireland.
yeah. I'm like, how do you go? Where do you, Chicago probably, and then connect?
Maybe. Yeah.
I like Northwestern to cover the spread, just because implementing a new offense. I looked back when that same offensive coordinator, Mark Whipple is his name, who was recently with Kenny Pickett at Pittsburgh. His first year in that offense at Pittsburgh, they struggled. They ended up being in the 100s out of 130. I believe they charted at 109, if memory serves me correct. But I think it takes time. You can't to have that big of a shift in your philosophy. It takes time. I think Nebraska will still win this game, but yeah. I do think it will take some time. So I think Northwestern will cover that spread.
Okay, I like it. Like you said, Nebraska did beat Northwestern by 49 points the last time they met up last season, but then Nebraska went on to lose 8 games by a combined 49 points. So I'll agree with you on this one and say that Northwestern can maybe keep this closer. But stay right there as I get into my mock thought for today. College football, it finally starts this weekend. So let's take a look at the odds to win the national title game. So who's going to win it all and who is a good long shot pick? I'm going to go with Ohio State here at plus 300. So it's hard to bet against the Crimson Tide, especially Nick Saban's pay. I mean, he had an 8-year, $93 million contract for a 70-year-old, which I find interesting because Kyle Shanahan likes to say, we don't even know if we're going to be alive tomorrow. And then you're going to give a 70-year-old an 8-year contract extension. But Bama and Georgia would have to play each other in the SEC championship game. Ohio seems to be the obvious choice here. You got CJ Stroud, who is the Heisman Trophy winner, favorite this year. They're also minus 250 to win the Big Ten. You've got a decent road schedule this year. You got Michigan State, Northwestern, Maryland, Penn State. I just think that they're a good match here. But long shot wise, and Colby, obviously, you can tell us, long shots don't win national titles. It's been all about the blue blood since 2004. Only Auburn, the 2010 Tigers, opened the season ranked worse than 11. However, if I have to pick a long shot here, I do like Texas A&M. They're the only team in the SEC that can beat Alabama and Georgia for a title this season. They beat Bama last year in the regular season. They got a number 7 ranked defense, and they've got a talented roster. They're pretty well coached. Only question mark is the quarterback situation, but a plus 2,500, it's worth a little bit of a sprinkle.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. All right, it's time for Capper's Corner. Let's welcome back in Colby. Colby, you heard what I had to say. What are your thoughts? Who do you like to win it all, and who's a good long shot?
First off, I like the long shot odds, you know, and you're right, in college football at this current state where you only have a 14 playoff, which I label an invitational because there are no guidelines, you know, you're right. You should not play. I think yesterday someone played some crazy odds on Fresno State to win it. And I go, they just gave away money. It's impossible. Even if they go undefeated, I don't think they'll get the invite. So I do think you make a lot of sense there. And I mean, I'm going chalk. I think, you know, my Alabama friends down there in Tuscaloosa, they believe that this is Nick Saban's best team he's ever had, ever.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
So, and traditionally when Saban loses, you know, all off, it doesn't matter what age he is. I feel like you're sitting there all off season saying, I can't believe I lost that game last year. And you know, that, you know, he's fired up for it. But yeah. So I am going chalk there. I wish I had a more surprising play there. But I will say for my long shot, I do think Michigan and Jim Harbaugh they're flying under the radar. I really believe it. And I know you said Ohio State, and for a lot of great reasons. And you know, Ohio State has just NFL players scattered all through that offense.
Yeah.
But Michigan, their offensive line is, I think it might be the best in the nation. And when you add in these receivers that were injured last year and some are freshmen that are really talented, I think this offense is going to be way more dynamic this year. And I think if they can get past Ohio State, Michigan's schedule is actually really easy, I think. Obviously, they got to win in Columbus. That game's going to, you know, I understand Ohio State being the favorite there. But I think Michigan's flying under the radar. And I think they're reading those press clippings where everyone's crowning Ohio State Big Ten champ already. Got to remember, Michigan won the Big Ten last year, so I think they might be taking it a little personal. So I think at plus 6,000 there, sign me up for the Wolverines.
I got to tell you, as a 49ers fan, I do know that Jim Harbaugh takes things very personally and gets back at it next season. So I like that. And they did beat Ohio State last year as well. So let's talk Heisman Trophy. Bryce Young looks to become just the second player to win back-to-back Heismans, but CJ Stroud is the favorite. Who do you like to win the Heisman this year? You got CJ Stroud, at plus 200, Bryce Young plus 430, Caleb Williams plus 700, Trayvon Henderson plus 2000, Will Anderson Jr. plus 2,200 and Jahmyr Gibbs at plus 2,400. Who are you looking at here, Colby?
Yeah, this is interesting because I think, you know, the Heisman Trophy's kind of had this change where they go into selecting teams that make the playoffs for the most part, or at least right out top six, I would say. So, you know, obviously Bryce Young won it last year. A lot of times they don't like to do it. You know, they don't like to give him back-to-back Heisman trophies. So I think they are going to be looking for C.J. Stroud or Caleb Williams. But I don't know that USC is good enough. I don't think they're good enough to get there this year. Ohio State potentially, and that makes a lot of sense. But I think Alabama is going to live up to the hype. I think Nick Saban is going to go undefeated. So then I'm sitting there thinking, well, if they're not going to give it to Young, who could they give it to? Jahmyr Gibbs is a running back there, but I don't think he's going to be their full-on number one. So I'm going to take a shot on a defensive player. There's only been one defensive player ever to get the Heisman Trophy back in 1998, and that was Charles Woodson. So I'm going to take a shot on Will Anderson Jr. because I think he's probably going to be the first pick in the NFL draft next year, obviously depending on who gets the first pick. But all it takes is one big play in a key game against Georgia or against Texas A&M, and he'll have that moment. I know it sounds crazy, and I've even had arguments in the office about this, and I just said, I just want someone from Bama. I want someone from Bama, so sign me up for Will Anderson. I know it's in a way a long shot because you only have a very small sample size of a defensive player winning it, but if they're as dominant as I think they're going to be, and if you watch any of the film of Will Anderson last year, he was a game changer. So all it takes is one play in a big game, and I think he'll have his Heisman moment. So sign me up for Will Anderson in the Crimson Tide.
Well, one, you're very high on the Crimson Tide this year, which makes a lot of sense. It is the Crimson Tide. But you are not alone. I know you said you think you're crazy, but according to Caesar Sportsbook, Will Anderson Jr. has the most bets to win it. He's second in handle. So if you look at people who have bet $1,000 on who's going to win the Heisman, you got C.J. Stroud. He's got five. But Will Anderson is next with three. So you are not alone in believing that Will Anderson Jr. could be the Heisman Trophy winner this year. But let's take a look at the SEC conference winner. We're going to dive into some of the major conferences, but obviously we're going to start with the SEC here. Who are you liking to win this conference and why? There's Alabama. Well, obviously I know you're going to say Alabama here. At least you should, because you like them so much this year. That minus 140, not great odds. Georgia Bulldogs, defending champions, plus 140. Texas A&M Aggies, plus 1600. Tennessee Vols, plus 4000. Ole Miss Rebels, plus 4000. And the Kentucky Wildcats, also at plus 4,000. You going with Bama here? You got to go the chalk. I know you are.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, like the SEC, obviously fantastic conference. They put the most pros in the NFL year after year, it seems like. This is a pretty predictable, the most predictable conference, I believe, because you have Georgia in the SEC East. I don't really see a threat for them. And in the SEC West, I know you made the case for Texas A&M. I think if it was going to be anybody, it would be A&M, but they're still a little bit too young for me to fully, and they got to win at Alabama this year. So I'm going to go ahead and say, I think it's going to go very chalky here. I think Bama beats Georgia in the SEC championship.
All right, on to the Big Ten. Who do you like to win this conference? Ohio State, my favorite Buckeyes, minus 250. Michigan Wolverines, plus 750. The Badgers of Wisconsin, plus 1,200. Penn State, plus 1,400. Nebraska Cornhuskers, we talked about those earlier today, plus 1,600. Or the Iowa Hawkeyes at plus 2,200. You going to go Michigan here?
Because the value, see, this is a little different. This is a little different than the SEC because I do think Michigan is capable. We saw it last year beating Ohio State, and I get it. Ohio State probably should be favored because of the game being in Columbus, but they're minus 250. Michigan's plus 750. And when you consider all the things I said, Ohio State had a terrible defense last year. Yes, they bring in defensive coordinator Jim Knowles, but how fast can you fix that? Luckily, they don't play Michigan until the final game of the regular season. So, yes, they could fix that. But I just think if there's any team that could beat them, it is Michigan. And I think it's actually going to be a very close game regardless. So I'm going to take a shot on Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines at plus 750 there. I love the value.
Where is the game? Is it in Ohio or is that at the Big House?
Yeah, it's in Ohio. That's why I think, you know, that's going to be the hard thing there. But one of the benefits, Ohio State, normally a very, very fast team, a ton of speed. And one of the benefits of Michigan being able to play them, Michigan's more of a power team. You get to Ohio or Michigan, doesn't matter where they play this game as far as weather, cold. Last year was in the snow. So it slows down Ohio State's skill a little bit, and I think that favors into Michigan's hand. Obviously, playing at Ohio State's tough, but give me a shot. Michigan's offensive line, I think, could really be a problem in that ground game for the Ohio State defense. It's still unproven.
All right, looking at the Big 12 here, here are the odds. Oklahoma Sooners plus 190, Texas Longhorns plus 250, Oklahoma State Cowboys plus 450, the Baylor Bears at plus 650, TCU Horned Frogs plus 1200, Kansas State Wildcats plus 1200. Who do you like?
This one, buckle up, Big 12 fans, because I think I think this conference is wide open. I think it's wide open. Oklahoma and Texas, the favorites, but that's more so on name brand. There's a ton of turnover with Oklahoma. Texas is, Texas has never really lived up to the hype in the past decade. So yeah. I'm going to go with Baylor. I trust Dave Aranda, their head coach. I think he's one of the most cutting edge coaches in college football right now. And I think they're the best on the line of scrimmage in that conference. Yes, they have questions at the quarterback spot, starting a redshirt freshman, but he played last year. They won the conference championship last year with that freshman. I'm going to take a shot on the line of scrimmage and Baylor Bears plus 650 to win the Big 12.
All right, now let's move on to the ACC. You got the Clemson Tigers minus 140, Miami Hurricanes, plus 500, North Carolina State Wolfpack at 750, plus 750, Pittsburgh Panthers plus 800, North Carolina Tar Heels plus 1600, Florida State Seminoles plus 2200. How do you see this one shaken out?
I think I have to go Clemson as much as I don't want to, because their offense looked really bad last year. Their defensive line, I think, is going to be the best in the country. And when you factor in the struggles of everyone else has question marks. So the one consistent team here is Clemson. Even last year, in a down year for them, they still were in the mix to almost win the ACC championship. Their quarterback's a year older. I'm making the assumption that he'll limit some of those turnovers that really cost them. And I have questions with every other team. So Clemson this year also gets North NC State, the second favorite in their division. They have to come to Clemson, South Carolina. So I expect Clemson to take care of them there, and that will give them the tiebreaker to play for the ACC championship. And then the Coastal Division, they don't have anyone that can compete against the Atlantic. So I got Clemson at minus 140 to win the ACC.
Okay, let's talk about the Pac-12. First of all, what do you think is going on with the Pac-12 right now? A lot of people jump and ship.
Yeah, I personally, I'm not a big fan of the Big Ten's decision to grab USC and UCLA, just because I think it's just a nightmare.
Yeah. For the kids, they still have to go to school. Yeah.
Yeah. It's supposed to be about school. That's what the athletic directors and the school presidents will say. but clearly it's about dollar bills. College football is a regional sport. I feel like the TV execs are trying to make it the NFL. Look, we all love the NFL, but at the same time, what makes college football great is the regionality of it and the fans, the passion. And I do not like what they're doing there, but who knows if this conference will be alive a year from now for recording this. I'm going to take a shot though on the Utah Utes. They're plus 210.
Ooh. Yeah.
I know that they're still right there in the mix. They won the Pac-12 last year. So am I saying something unbelievable? Not necessarily, but still plus 210, good value. Kyle Whittingham, always one of the best coaches in America, I believe, let alone the Pac-12. And USC is going to, they're the odds on favorite. A lot of that is name recognition. All right. And the fact they're going to the Big Ten, their defense is not there yet. And they have to go to Salt Lake City where they've struggled ever since Utah came to the Pac-12. So that elevation, that weather, in Salt Lake City, always a problem for the Trojans. I'm going to take the Utah Utes at plus 210 to win the Pac-12.
Okay, and finally, you got the Houston Cougars plus 200, the Cincinnati Bearcats plus 240, UCF Knights. It's one of my favorite college basketball teams, actually, plus 260, SMU Mustangs plus 1,000, Memphis Tigers plus 1,000, East Carolina Pirates at plus 2,000.
It's tough for me to say this because I am an ECU guy, but UCF plus 260. I love this play. Gus Malzahn's their head coach. He came over from Auburn, wrongfully fired, in my opinion. Very good football coach. And he just landed a transfer from Ole Miss in John Rhys Plumlee. He just named him the starting quarterback the other day. I think the whole college football world is going to be very surprised at how well John Rhys Plumlee will be in Gus Malzahn's offense. I expect his offense to really light it up. You'll see him all over SportsCenter. Odds on favorite is the Houston Cougars. They don't play. They don't play UCF. So if they were to play, it would be in the championship game. Cincinnati has to go to Orlando to beat UCF. That place gets crazy. I got UCF I think they're going to be a really good team this year. I think that offense is really going to fly. So give me UCF plus 260.
All right, let's talk about some season win totals. Who are your favorite overs and unders that you're looking to lock in this season?
Let's jump right back to what we were talking. UCF.
Let's do it.
Now, I feel like I was joking around, pre-episode. This is a team that the win total was 8.5. We did our locks episode. I like to think, my ego likes to think that we're moving lines here, because this line jumped up to 9.5 in the past couple weeks. And UCF is a team that I think, when I look at the schedule, I'm riding the over on this 9.5 wins. I can't see the losses. The road games are traditionally, in college football, when you hit the road, you lose. I don't care if you're Alabama. There's a reason why Alabama doesn't play many out-of-conference away games. UCF, they're out of conference schedule. Florida Atlantic, that's a win. At East Carolina, I think that's the trickiest one on their road schedule. Then at Memphis, at Tulane, at South Florida, I think those are all winnable games. They should be favored in every road game. You look at the home matchups, they have a tough one week two, Friday, September 9th against Louisville. I think they should be favored. I think they will get that one, but it is a tough game. And then you have the Cincinnati game on October 29th, Halloween weekend, at home in Orlando. I don't see them losing that game. Cincinnati lost 9 players to the NFL draft last year. Oof. So I think they're going to have a little bit of a setback. Give me the over on UCF at 9.5 wins. I can't even see, like, worst case scenario, two losses. They have two, like, kind of 50-50 games, and I think they're going to go 2-0 in those personally. Oh. So I love the over on the UCF Golden Knights this year.
All right, lock it in. What else?
I'm going to take you to, and I know, so last year, Kansas is one of the worst football programs in the past decade, right? Everyone's got a joke about that. And last year, Kansas went out and hired a football coach named Lance Leipold, and they hired him after spring. And they were my number one lock last season at over 1.5 wins. Now, he didn't get spring ball. He started a bunch of freshmen, and it hit for me as they beat the Texas Longhorns. I think they were like a 30-point dog. and I'm going to ride them again. The win total's at 2.5. This year, he does get spring ball. He started 5 freshmen last year at the skill positions. So I'm going to ride Kansas over 2.5 wins. And I wouldn't even be surprised if they even got to a bowl. I really believe this is fighting for him. And you saw last year, I feel like the final 3 or 4 games of the season, they turned a corner and the team started fighting for him. They lost a lot of those games, but they were close games. I expect them to be a lot more competitive this year pretty much in every game. So give me Kansas over 2.5 wins as a play that I really love in the Big 12.
So I saw Kansas play last year against Iowa State Cyclones in Iowa, and it was an absolute bloodbath. Is this the lowest point? Or is this the lowest total at 2.5, or is there someone that actually has less projected wins than Kansas this year?
I believe they're right there tied as the lowest. I think UConn, UMass, a couple others that are right there. I think depending on what book you see, it could change there. But that's the thing, though. You saw that game, and that was a bloodbath. But it's a process, and that's one of the things I love about college football. Is you see, like, the coaches will come in, and you can actually kind of see where the players buy in. And it seemed like to me they pretty much the last month of the season, they bought in. And they were really young. They started a true freshman quarterback. He was only 18 years old. Same with the running back position. And a lot of youth in the wide receiver room as well. Those guys bought in. They almost beat Oklahoma. They did beat Texas. So I think this year they're gonna be a lot more competitive. And that guy has won, I believe, 6, if memory serves me correct, 6 Ooh. D2 and D3, or Wisconsin Whitewater, okay, which is D3, I believe, national championships. He's a good coach. He's gonna find a way to get it done. Give me the over on the Jayhawks.
All right. Anyone else you're looking at for a season win total?
Yes, I like NC State under 8.5. Sometimes you got to zig when everyone else is zagging, and everyone's on NC State over 8.5 wins. I think you look at NC State's schedule last year, and it's a little bit of fool's gold. I understand Devin Leary is a very good quarterback. I understand the roster has a lot of potential NFL players, but they were beneficiaries of playing three backup quarterbacks a season ago. I don't think they'll have that same luck, and they barely won in those matchups, a couple of those matchups. I think NC State's got a tougher road schedule this year than people imagine, and I wouldn't be surprised if they lose the opener at my East Carolina Pirates. So I know people will say, oh, he's an ECU guy. They're rivals with NC State. Of course he's going to fade them. No, I really believe that the road test at East Carolina, they got to go at Clemson. They barely beat Clemson in Raleigh last year. And then they got to go to a strange away trip at the Dome in Syracuse. That's a sneaky spot. It's a very sleepy feel, and you can lose that game. You see, Clemson almost did last year. Then they got to go to Louisville in North Carolina. I think the road schedule's too tough. They still got to play at home against Wake Forest, who has beaten them four of the last five times. Give me NC State under 8.5 wins. And I think that's some really good plus juice on that, too. So, all right. Get in.
I'm going to ride with you on that one. One quick question. So this weekend is technically week zero. And then when it gets to September 1st, it becomes week one. What's with the zero in the weeks for college football?
It's just the thing. I think teams were getting creative. This kind of happened like so when TV deals started to happen in the 90s, they would normally just put one game up to try to get a bunch of ratings the week before. But then other teams started to realize that it's a sneaky way to get two bye weeks. So if you schedule, it's funny, as the years have progressed, you see a lot more teams doing it. Now we got like 14 games. It used to be one or two. So that's their angle, I believe. It gets some exposure too. I'm sure that for recruiting, you can say, hey, we have a game on national television, you know, so come play here. So that's really, I think, the angle on week zero. Still doesn't make much sense. You would still think you would call it week one. I don't get it, but yeah.
And it's basically just a weekend too. It's the week zero is a weekend, but interesting. And that does make a little bit of sense considering you can squeeze out two bye weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is kind of creative. I think if I was in charge of a program that was really bad, because you're seeing this weekend, there are some teams that had some really bad records last year. You have a lot of new coaches coming in there. I think it's actually creative to say, hey, let's get a week zero game. Give yourself that extra bye week so you can kind of break your season down and get more reps. I think it's a smart strategy for the new coaches.
Moxie Bets is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older. All right, it's time for Mox Locks. Colby and I are going to give you our best bets for week zero on the college football slate. First game I'm looking at is Vanderbilt versus Hawaii. I like the over 53.5 is at -110 on Caesars Sportsbook. Vanderbilt finished 2021 not so great, 2-10, 0-8 in SEC play. They do have a hard time scoring against SEC defenses. I don't necessarily think that's going to be the case versus Hawaii. They have Mike Wright named as the starting quarterback. He's responsible for 7 touchdowns in his final 4 games last season. The defense isn't great. They ranked at the bottom of the SEC last year, allowing 30 points per game. Then you got Hawaii. Hawaii only has 6 starters who have returned, and they rank 130th in returning production. However, they hired program legend and first-time head coach Timmy Chang, former quarterback for Hawaii. He was also the offensive coordinator for Nevada. This total opened up at 55. It has since dropped down to 53.5. I don't think that Timmy Chang is going to be great with the defense, but I do think he's going to be a little bit better than people think he's going to be offensive-wise for Hawaii. The over also 19-9 in Hawaii's last 28 non-conference games. Colby, what do you think? And I also know you've got to play for this game.
Yeah, I love your angle. Hawaii's defense, first off, that offense is going to fly because they went out and hired the coordinator from Eastern Washington. If you want in the FCS, that's, you know, the second tier of Division I football. Eastern Washington's offense, very creative, put up fantasy football like numbers every week. So I do think the offense will fly, and Vanderbilt's defense probably not there yet. But I like the play of, so I like your angle on the over, and I will double down with you there. But I also like Vanderbilt minus the points. Because there's too much turnover. You know, Timmy Chang coming into Hawaii, great story for the Islanders. But last year, it got ugly. Their coach, Todd Graham, they had like a mutiny. They had a mutiny. Like, we're like 25 players just quit on them, decided not to play, including one of them was his own son. It was absolute chaos what was going on the island. And even their coaching search was very strange. They June Jones, who was a legendary coach on the island, they wanted him allegedly, and apparently that was only a ploy to please the Islanders. So the administration seems an absolute mess. Unfortunately for Timmy Chang, I'm wishing him the best. I think he's just got a project on his his hands. So I'm going to lay the points. And another thing is Vanderbilt last year, their stats were horrible, but they were breaking in a new coach. They're where Timmy Chang was last year. So they're ahead of schedule now. Clark Lee comes in year two. I do like Mike Wright to put up some big numbers against a Hawaii defense that probably will have people like me starting for them. And so I'm going to lay the points for the Commodores to win this game. I think they're going to win probably, I would assume, in double digits.
I think the Islanders would be happy if you were named the quarterback there or the coach. So we'll have to see. All right, next up, I'm looking at Wyoming +13 versus Illinois. This is also a -110 on Caesars Sportsbook. So Wyoming has won 5 of its last 6 August games and is 5-3 in opening games under head coach Craig Bohl. But they've got a new look offense here. Both of their starting quarterbacks, their leading rusher, and their top receiver all exited the program. Illinois has named Tommy DeVito as their starting quarterback. He's okay, but he's inexperienced. So I think they're going to lean more on their ground game. They've got a really good rush attack. They got that junior Chase Brown. He had 1,005 yards last season, 5 touchdowns. Also, they got that sophomore Josh McCray. He had 549 yards, 4.9 yards per carry. Illinois is the better team here. Okay, they're 10-1 straight up in their last 11 games of the season. But I do think that they're going to run the ball more, kind of grind this game out, keeping the score low. So 11 or 13 points, what is it? I think it's at 11. No, it's at 13. It's just too many points to give here. So I'm going to go with the dogs on this one. What do you think?
Oh, we're seeing eye to eye here. And it's funny. I feel like the public loves Illinois here. This number's been climbing. Yeah. I agree. Look, I get it. Wyoming lost a ton in the transfer portal. So people are panicking. But I actually think they actually brought in a few transfers that might help out. They lost their quarterback Levi Williams to Utah State, but ironically, the backup at Utah State, Andrew Peasley, transfers into Wyoming. I actually believe he's a better passer than the quarterback they had last year in Levi Williams. So I think there's a chance the passing offense can improve despite losing a ton of. They lost their top receiver to Texas in the transfer portal. They also lost their starting running back to Arizona State. However, their backup running back Titus Swen is very good. So I think Wyoming +13 is a good angle here. And it wouldn't even surprise me if this was like a tie game in the fourth quarter. So give me the Cowboys there +13. I agree with you.
Let's get it. All right. You got 2 more locks for us, Colby. What are they?
I'm going to take you to Las Cruces, New Mexico, where this team has been really bad of late. The New Mexico State Aggies, they are hosting the Nevada Wolfpack, and both teams starting with a brand new head coach, but Nevada, they lost their head coach, Jay Norvell, last year. He left for Colorado State and he took a ton of players and coaches with him. So he really emptied the cupboards there. So I think it's a big project for Ken Wilson, the new head coach of Nevada. Meanwhile, New Mexico State, yes, they were terrible last year, but Jerry Kill comes in. Jerry Kill is a coach that has done this at several stops. He's like the guy that fixes your program. He also was very active in the transfer portal, brought in a couple guys from Michigan, a defensive end from Oklahoma, JUCO transfer at quarterback that won a national championship on that level. I think New Mexico State's the actual better team. I'm going to take the +8.5 with New Mexico State. I'm also going to ride that money line because I think they're going to win outright. This is going to be a sellout, too. I saw that this morning when I logged in to social media. I saw this. You go back last year and you watch a game in Las Cruces, there was like, 500 people there. So now they're selling out the stadium because of this hire. The energy around the program is going in the right direction. Give me New Mexico State to win on the money line. And I've taken the points.
Oh, I love that. Every time that you say the transfer portal or anybody, I feel like we're transporting people to a different dimension. It's such a weird thing to say someone is going to transfer somewhere else, to call it the transfer portal.
Yeah. And look, it's absolutely crazy too. You're right. To give folks an idea, I don't know if they're new to college football. So, like, I've been a diehard college football fan since the 90s. And you would have like one or two transfers maybe per team. Now you have like, it's like the 405 freeway on a Friday. Like it is just thousands of players. So it has become such a big, important part of college football that I think you have to talk about it so much more. But yes, it sounds very like you're in a science fiction movie or something. But I got one more play though. I like the Charlotte 49ers plus 7.5 against the, there you go, 49ers, right? they're going down to Boca Raton to take on Florida Atlantic. Charlotte brings back a super senior quarterback. That's another thing with the COVID. Besides the transfer portal, you have the COVID season eligibility, the extra year. So you get these college football players that have been, that are like 30 that are playing college football. Charlotte's quarterback, Chris Reynolds, is one of them. I think he's going to have that offense flying around. My only concern in this game is I'm hearing that it might be some weather. That is something to monitor, but I still like Charlotte regardless to cover the 2.5. They're 2-1 in their history of playing on the road in Boca Raton. So give me Charlotte plus the points there.
Going with the Niners. I love it. Colby, thank you so much for joining the show today and dropping all of your college football knowledge. Let the people know where to find you, where they can listen and watch your podcast on SGPN.
Yes, we are part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, and my podcast is The College Football Experience. You can find it on any podcast platform or YouTube as The College Experience. So check us out.
Check us out. All right, this has been Moxie Betts, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. We'll see you Monday.